From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up,
after 24 months of rapid progress, our economy is the envy of the world. Our military is the most powerful on earth by far. And America is again winning each and every day. Members of Congress, the state of our union is strong. That sounds
well,
so good.
Not only is the union strong, but so was the president last night, as he did not sidestep a single difficult issue as he reached beyond the political divide here in Washington, D.C. to unify Americans with the challenge to choose greatness. Even a poll by CBS News confirmed the president hit the mark. 76% of Americans approved of the president's speech. The moment that best illustrated, though, the divide here in Washington, D.C. with the rest of the nation was when President Trump challenged Congress to ensure that states like New York did not succeed in pushing America toward infanticide. One half of the chamber erupted in what was probably the loudest standing ovation of the night, while the other half sat on their hands. Chairman of the new Senate Pro-Life Caucus, Montana Senator Steve Daines, is here in just a moment. And in a very dangerous and unpredictable world, it was appropriate the president's speech focused heavily on foreign policy. And he said, had he not won the election in 2016, America may very well be at war right now. True or false? Our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joins me for that discussion. Then I'll share with you what I thought were the night's most inspiring moments. And then I hope to open up the phone lines and hear yours. Also, I was on the Hill earlier today, and just moments after the Democratic leadership once again tried to remove God from the oath that witnesses take before committees. I'll have the details on that a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. All right, we talked about this, but on Monday night, Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska introduced the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Now, unlike the 2002 version of the bill, which George W. Bush signed into law, it was more of a resolution without any real power behind it to enforce it. Well, this new version of the bill has some teeth to it, where it can actually be enforced. It can protect, as we talked about on Monday, protect children that survive abortions, making sure that they get to hospitals where they get medical treatment, and it contains criminal penalties for those who do these really acts of infanticide. My first guest, Republican Senator Steve Daines of Montana, serves on numerous Senate committees, including Finance, Appropriations, Energy and Natural Resources, and Indian Affairs. Not only was he there for the debate, but was much a part of it. He spoke with great persuasion and eloquence on the floor about why America should definitely outlaw infanticide. He's also the chairman of the new Senate Caucus on Life, and he joins us now. Senator Daines, welcome to Washington Watch.
Glad to be with you, Tony.
Well, Steve, first, let me just say thank you for your bold stand for the unborn and for being a part of working with Senator Lankford and others to actually form this new caucus that's going to be there in the Senate speaking out for the unborn.
Well, it came to a great surprise to me, Tony, when I joined the U.S. Senate, that there was not a pro-life caucus. The House has had one for years. So we launched the pro-life caucus. We made this announcement at the March for Life a couple of weeks ago. And already, and one of the first things we did is we wrote a letter to the president. We asked the president to ensure that he would stop or veto any legislation that would come out of the House. We're very concerned about Nancy Pelosi and what she is up to over on the House side, to ensure that he would stop any legislation that would strip any of the protections we have, we've fought for years, whether high protections, Mexico City and so forth. I had 48 of my colleagues join me, so 49 U.S. senators joined me in that letter. And the best news of all, the president responded back and says, I'll stand with you in stopping anything coming out of Nancy Pelosi that would strip pro-life protections.
Yes, he made that announcement at the March for Life when he spoke, the message that he had for the march, and making that very clear, in fact, the letter he sent to Nancy Pelosi. So thank you for taking that that leadership role. I want to play a clip from Senator Murray, Patty Murray from Washington State. When this bill was introduced, asking your colleague Ben Sasse asked for unanimous consent to move on to this bill. This is what Patty Murray had to say.
Senator from Washington.
Mr. President, we have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object.
Objection is heard.
Senator Daines, your response.
Tony, there were two words that came to mind as I watched this unfold. And really, we've seen three chapters of this already. One was with Governor Cuomo in New York. The second was Governor Northam in Virginia, and now Senator Patty Murray. The words chilling come to mind, and the words evil. The thought that a state or anywhere in this nation would allow abortion to the point of birth, but now, seconds after birth, with a botched abortion, the thought that they would not protect that life, that's a line that's been crossed, Tony, for the first time in this country, and to have elected officials standing up and defending that is absolutely evil. And I can't think of another word, Tony, to describe it than that.
You know, Senator, it is, to me, abundantly clear that there is such a sharp contrast between the two parties on this. Since the 2016 cycle and the Democratic Party platform clearly articulating this full-on support for abortion, unrestricted, and the desire to make taxpayers fund it. And, of course, the Republicans on the other side taking a very strong pro-life position. And we saw it last night in the chamber when the president – in fact, I've got a clip of the president. This had to just encourage you, given what had taken place on Monday in the Senate, for having the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, make this statement. Let's listen to the president last night talking about this issue of life.
There could be no greater contrast to the beautiful image of a mother holding her infant child than the chilling displays our nation saw in recent days. Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments from birth. These are living, feeling, beautiful babies who will never get the chance to share their love and their dreams with the world. And then we had the case of the governor of Virginia, where he stated he would execute a baby after birth. To defend the dignity of every person, I am asking Congress to pass legislation to prohibit the late-term abortion of children who can feel pain in the mother's womb. Let us work together to build a culture that cherishes innocent life. And let us reaffirm a fundamental truth. All children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God.
Senator Daines, describe that moment there in the House chamber when the president, he did not pull back at all. What was it like?
Well, I think about great moments I've had in public service, those moments you'll never, ever forget. Tony, that is and will be one of those moments. I was sitting next to our newly elected senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, who, of course, beat Claire McCaskill. Next to Josh was Cory Gardner of Colorado. And next to Cory was my dear friend James Langford of Oklahoma. So it's just the four of us there in that moment, surrounded by some of my Republican colleagues, strong pro-life leaders, Marsha Blackburn right behind me, who was just elected in Tennessee. That's a defining moment. And you could hear it. In fact, as I listened to the clip again, Tony, I got chills when you heard this visceral response of joy from the pro-life leaders in the United States Senate and the House. And the chilling moment, though, as we stood to our feet and cheered this president, and I would argue that was one of the great pro-life moments we've had in the State of the Union address. Perhaps, Tony, I'm not sure you have to go back and replay clips, but I would challenge anybody to find a greater moment of putting down a marker on behalf of the unborn than that moment. And we rose to our feet and we cheered. But as we looked across the chamber and we saw that our Democratic colleagues there sitting on our hands, their hands, and scowling, Tony, if that's not a clear demarcation here, a moment of moral clarity of what is evil and what is good, then I don't know what is.
I could not agree with you more, Senator Daines, because I think it is a defining moment. First off, I think one thing about the president, and I've talked about this multiple times, is that the president, going all the way back to the third and final presidential debate, when he describes these things, he doesn't do it in talking points that his staff hands to him. These are his words. I was in a meeting Monday night at the White House with the president, vice president, and some others. One of the first things he talked about when he came into the room was what happened in Virginia in his own terms. He gets this. So I do agree with you. One of the probably the most articulate, passionate defenses of the unborn. But you're also right. In the defining moment of where our Congress is, this dividing line, and I would argue this point that your colleagues on the other side of the aisle who sat on their hands are not in step with the vast majority of Americans, because only about 13% support this type of procedure that they're defending.
Tony, I couldn't agree more. And I guess you look at what good will come out of this incredible positions we've seen the two governors take in New York and Virginia. We've seen the position that Patty Murray and, frankly, the rest of her colleagues on the U.S. Senate on the Democratic side. The good that comes out of this is it brings into light now what we knew beforehand. As you mentioned, it was in the Democrats' platform. And when President Trump debated Hillary Clinton, they kind of had to weave and bob around at the time. This is now all out in the open. And you think about those suburban moms that in this last election tended to vote on the Democratic side, those suburban moms who are thinking about their children, who are thinking about the safety and security of their families, when they're presented with this very, very stark contrast on the issue of abortion, I think, frankly, this helps the pro-life cause. This brings perhaps some moms and dads out there and young people that perhaps have not thought through this entirely. And now there's, again, this moment of moral clarity where this should not even be a debatable item. As you mentioned, whether it's 13%, some small number, this bodes well for us long-term here to continue to win the hearts and minds of the American people.
Well said, Senator Steve Daines. I hope the pro-life caucus, I believe the pro-life caucus is off to a good start, and I think the president put some wind in your sails.
He sure did.
All right, Senator, thanks so much for joining us today. Look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, Senator Steve Daines of Montana, new chairman of the new pro-life caucus in the Senate. All right, when we come back, a lot of the president's speech last night focused on foreign policy, defense, southern border. When we come back, we're going to be joined by our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin to unpack the president's remarks from last night. Don't go away. Back with more after this.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. All right, unpacking the president's State of the Union address last night. Even CBS, in a poll that they conducted, showed the president hit the mark. 76% of Americans approved of his speech, even Democrats. Some Democrats giving thumbs up. I thought it was one of the best State of the Union addresses I've heard, not only from a content standpoint, but the president didn't sidestep any of the difficult issues. One of the things he talked about, well, actually, he spoke a lot about foreign policy. He talked a little bit about the border, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But one of the things he said last night that brought some grumbles, if you will, from those in the audience was this. Here's a clip I want to play of the president discussing North Korea. Let's play clip number 7.
As part of a bold new diplomacy, we continue our historic push for peace on the Korean Peninsula. Our hostages have come home. Nuclear testing has stopped, and there has not been a missile launch in more than 15 months. If I had not been elected President of the United States, we would right now, in my opinion, be in a major war with North Korea. Much work remains to be done, but my relationship with Kim Jong-un is a good one. Chairman Kim and I will meet again on February 27th and 28th in Vietnam.
Joining us now is the Executive Vice President of the Family Research Council, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. General, President's statement, true or false?
Well, I think the President is absolutely on the mark with everything that he said there relative to Kim Jong-un and the North Korea nuclear program. And, Tony, I have said very publicly before their first meeting in Singapore, I said, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm actually concerned about a nuclear exchange because you had a wild man, unstable, Kim Jong-un, sitting on top of a nuclear arsenal of maybe as many as 10 warheads and a delivery means. And that was a very dangerous situation. So reflect on what it was like a year ago. Look at today. And I think we're a long ways from from war right now, certainly with North Korea.
And General, he also spoke, obviously, other hot spots in which the United States has really strong interest. He talked about the Middle East, talked about Syria, talked about Venezuela. Overall, how do you give the president, what kind of marks do you give the president on his foreign policy positions in the speech last night?
Well, I think he did well, and I was certainly giving very high marks on everything there last night. I think that he went, he didn't say everything that I was concerned that he might say about Syria, because, as you know, I have been opposed to the precipitous withdrawal of our people out of North Korea for a variety of reasons, which is another topic altogether. But I think that the president has, I think he has probably come to grips with the more of a reasonable approach on Syria. He's talking about a phased withdrawal now, and he's talking about bringing in other international forces to replace the Americans that would be withdrawing, and he's so I don't see it as quite as critical. I do think that his emphasis on Iran last night was spot on. I mean, he made a very, very clear that we are not going to negotiate with or deal with a nation that calls for a death to America or that captures our sailors within weeks after the supposed Iran deal had been solidified. So I think he did very well on his foreign policy stuff last night.
Well, General Boykin, closer to home, he talked about security on our southern border. And if there are any that were questioning his determination on that border security, he had this to say. Let's play clip number five.
In the past, most of the people in this room voted for a wall, but the proper wall never got built. I will get it built.
That sounds it sounds like he's pretty determined that it's unequivocal, in my view, that he is going to make sure that the security on the southern border is accomplished.
Yeah, that was a very positive statement on his part last night. I think it's clear that he is not he's not going to cave on the whole issue of the wall. But this is a national security issue, too, and I think he made the case last night. This is a serious national security issue. We are literally being invaded by people, many of which are coming for very altruistic reasons, but also many of which are coming because they're criminals, because they are here to do us harm or to create mischief in a criminal sense. And I think he made it very clear that this is a national crisis. There are two more caravans on the way. And we have to deal with this. And this, when he said, "I will get it done," there was no doubt in my mind that he means that entirely. And I think he's probably considered all the options that are available to him.
And given the track record of this president, when he says something emphatically like that, he follows through and he gets it done. And I also, based on my conversations in the White House with him a couple of weeks ago on this issue, I think he sees himself in this, the context of previous presidents who have not done it. He sees this is the time to get it done, and I think he's going to do it.
Look, this is the same kind of thing as moving the embassy to Jerusalem. He was advised by everybody, you can't do this. Even though he campaigned on moving the embassy, just like the two or three previous presidents did, he was determined that he was actually going to do it. And over the advice of some of his closest advisors, he followed through with what he pledged to do. That is the Donald Trump that we've come to appreciate and respect.
Absolutely, without question. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. Our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. All right, when we come back, on the Hill today, I was actually at several events on the Hill, meeting with different individuals, was with Andrew Brunson. But the Democratic leadership, again, trying to take God out of the oath. Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana caught it and challenged it. We'll hear more about it on the other side of the break. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, and there's some resources there at TonyPerkins.com that you're going to need here in just a moment. One of them is the Stand Firm app. If you don't have that on your phone, you need to get it. It'll make your smartphone even smarter. It gives you at your fingertips the ability to connect with your elected officials. We can send out alerts to you so you know when to act and what to say, who to direct them to. All of that is on the Stand Firm app. Go to the App Store, go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. All right, a busy day today. I started out the morning kind of hosting, emceeing a reception with Andrew Brunson and his wife Noreen for the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. I had to put the other hat on this morning. And great turnout for there as we talked about the importance of religious freedom and the bipartisan focus on that. Then we had some meetings with different senators and others discussing the stuff happening in Turkey and Syria. And then I was at the on the House side with Mike Johnson, who is the chairman of the Republican Study Committee. I was able to open up the study committee with a brief devotional this at noon today and pray for them. Great. It's kind of the largest conservative caucus. But right before that, in the Judiciary Committee, now we were talking about this, I don't know, was it last week or week before, where the Democrats in the committee rules now are trying to take God out of the oath that witnesses have to take, that witnesses take before they testify for the committee. Now, because you responded, that effort was pushed back. But listen to what happened, this exchange that took place. This is in the Judiciary Committee. This is Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana and Jerry Nadler, who is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee now, Democrat from New York. Listen to this exchange.
We welcome all of our distinguished witnesses and thank them for participating in today's hearing. Now, if you'd please rise, I will begin by swearing you in. And raise your right hands. Do you swear or affirm, under penalty of perjury, that the testimony you're about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief? Thank you. Let the record show the witness is answered in the affirmative.
Mr. Chairman, point of parliamentary inquiry.
Here's a...
On the end.
Yes, sir.
we had a conversation on the floor last week, and I just noted you left out, so help
me. Sorry. Do you want me to repeat the whole? I will repeat
the
whole
process. I'd love that. Thank you.
Please stand up again. Let me repeat this oath. Do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony you're about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge, information, and belief? So help you God. Thank you. Let the record show the witness has answered in the affirmative. Thank you, and please be seated.
Accident or intentional? I don't think it was accidental. This is how they do this stuff. And they push it through. But fortunately, we have members of Congress like Mike Johnson, you know, the ones you hear on this program, men and women of deep patriotic conviction to stand firm for the Constitution of this country, but also men and women of deep Christian faith who are willing to stand and defend America's Christian heritage. And this is the way they'll operate. This is why you cannot step back, sit down. We've got to keep standing to defend what America is all about. And believe me, with Nancy Pelosi holding the gavel and now the Democrats controlling many of these committees, you're going to see more of this. And they've got to be challenged at every step. And that's why you can help. All right, I have not yet delivered these petitions to Nancy Pelosi. Yes, we're going to take them directly to Nancy Pelosi and let her know that you are watching. That you may not be her constituents. You may not vote for her party. Does not matter. But you are putting them on record that you will not stand by while they try to eradicate, erase, eliminate America's Christian heritage and remove God from our government. You won't tolerate it. So go to TonyPerkins.com, sign that petition so that, and share it with your friends, by the way. Put it out on your social media, tweet it out, put it on your Facebook, share it because, yes, we are going to take those to Capitol Hill and give those to Nancy Pelosi so that she knows we will be watching. Yes, we will be watching every move that they make. We will not tolerate them trying to further their effort to remove God from government. Now, they'll talk about, the separation church and state. No, they want to remove God from government. And they want to remove what is the very foundation of our republic. Those biblical principles and truths that unify America. Yes, they do. They really do. It is why America has been successful. It is fundamental to America's exceptionalism. That's another term they can't stand. All right, when we come back, I've already shared with you some of my highlights, some of the inspiring moments of last night. I've got maybe another clip or two to play. And then I want to hear from you. What was most inspiring? What was your most inspiring moment from last night's State of the Union address? All right, 866-372-7234. We're going to go to the phone lines. I want to hear from you. What was it the president said that inspired you the most last night? We're going to take your phone calls. Check out the website. Sign the petition. Download the app. Stand firm. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch after this.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and glad to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, tomorrow, I think we're going to actually have Senator Ben Sasse will be on tomorrow. Also, Chris Mitchell, CBN, here in the States after being in Syria. He's going to join us. We're going to talk more about what's happening in Syria. That was the subject of a number of my meetings today on the Hill with members of Congress and the Senate and the House because of the Christian population there, what's happening. But that's a topic for tomorrow. All right, today I want to talk about some of these inspiring moments from last night's State of the Union address. And there was a couple for me. I played one of them already. It was the life speech, the life portion that Senator Daines and I talked about earlier. It was, by far, the most straightforward and passionate defense of the unborn that I've heard, really, not just in the State of the Union, but by any president. Now, Ronald Reagan was really good, but George W. Bush said some good things, too. But what this president does is that he's not, and I know this because I've been around him enough and I've heard it and I've watched him. These are not talking points that his staff gets to him. These are not well-polished policy points that politicians use. You know, and I don't, you know, I know what his, in the past he was said that he supported Planned Parenthood and all this stuff. Well, I'm telling you where he's at today. And it's like he had an epiphany. He saw this for what it was. In fact, in the meeting I was in the other night in the White House, he came in, and this was unprompted, he brought this issue up. He is passionate about that. So that, to me, that was probably the top. Another moment that I enjoyed, because this is the kind of guy, he has some spunk. He fights. You know what? I mean, I don't like people that start fights, but I sure love people who won't walk away from them. Listen to clip number 8.
2 weeks ago, the United States officially recognized the legitimate government of Venezuela and its new president, Juan Guaido. We stand with the Venezuelan people in their noble quest for freedom, and we condemn the brutality of the Maduro regime, whose socialist policies have turned that nation from being the wealthiest in South America into a state of abject poverty and despair. Here in the United States, we are alarmed by the new calls to adopt socialism in our country. America was founded on liberty and independence, and not government coercion, domination, and control. We are born free, and we will stay free. Tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country.
Next to his articulation of support for the unborn, that was my second highest point. Because there, you have to realize who's in the chamber now. You have all of these socialists. You know, Bernie Sanders is no longer alone. You got Cortez. And he looked straight at him and said, we will never be a socialist country. He put down a marker. And to me, that was a inspiring moment, because some of these things are worth fighting for. What we are, what we believe in, what America, the ideals that made America, these things are worth, yes, even when it's uncomfortable, a confrontation with those who would want to take it away, those who would want to undercut it, those who would want to undermine it, those who want to recreate an America in their leftist image. I'm glad we've got a fighter as a president. I really am. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. I want to know, what was the most inspiring moment for you? 866-372-7234. The phone lines are lit up, and we're going to go to Dwight in North Dakota.
Hi, Tony.
Dwight, welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
Hi,
thank
there.
You, sir.
You want to pick just one inspiring moment? I tell you what, he knocked it out of the park on so many points. But if I had to pick one, I would have to agree with you. It was that section on the life of the unborn. I got chills. It was amazing. If I could add, I got chills in a not so good way during that section as well. To give you a little bit of perspective, you know, a lot of years ago, we had a missionary in our church, and he was showing pictures of the country that he was going to, and he showed a picture of a tribal witch doctor, and he said, "You look into the face of evil." And when I was looking into the face of Chuck Schumer and seeing that smile on his face while Donald Trump was describing that infanticide bill in New York, I felt the same chill. I was looking into the face of evil right there.
Well, Dwight, when you look at the contrast that we saw in that chamber last night when the president said this, and it sounded like it to me, and members I talked to said the same thing, that was the loudest and most enthusiastic standing ovation that the president got, and he got quite a few of them. But you look at one side of the chamber, with the exception of about two Democrats, one of them being Senator Manchin of West Virginia. Other than that, they were all sitting on their hands. And that is very telling. And I think it's instructive for us that we look at really a party that no longer has a conscience, that they can stand with governors like Cuomo and Northam that are willing to say that we will push the envelope toward infanticide. Dwight, you're absolutely right. Thanks so much, Dwight, for listening and for calling. And I would add one thing to that. I think this should do two things. And this is kind of what I shared with the Republican Study Committee. I shared the parable of the wheat and the tares, where Jesus instructed us, not to be overcome with the evil or the fear of the evil, you know, focusing on the tares, but rather to focus on the wheat. And I think that's what the president did in some ways last night, challenging America to choose greatness. And so there's great opportunity. Yes, there's great evil, great challenges, but we need to pray. We need to pray through these challenges and pray for others that their eyes would be open to the moral darkness that has descended upon this country, that their eyes would be open to the light. And pray for them and never has there been a time when we should be inspired more to pray for our government than today. All right, let's go to David in Virginia. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to real quick give the top three for me. The first was the life that the president was so willing to defend, life of the born and unborn. What a thing to say in today's world, in today's culture. And then the second thing that I really loved was when he pointed out the hypocrisy of the lawmakers living behind their own walls, living behind their own protection, but unwilling to let us, the American people, have walls to protect us. And then thirdly, like Dwight said, what gave me chills in a bad way was when that clip you just played that said that America will never be a socialist country. I don't think one Democrat even clapped for that. Certainly not. I don't think any of them stood for it. In the greatest and longest lasting republic the world has ever seen, every single one of those people should have been on their feet, regardless of what party they are in, willing to applaud someone who's going to say, we are always going to stand for freedom, we are always going to stand for democracy, and they didn't do it. The only time the Democrats even cheered USA was when they were doing identity politics, that so many women got elected to Congress. That was the only time. And then in closing, I think his closing remarks were some of the greatest and eloquent speech I have ever heard in any presidential speech, including going back, I've been alive 47 years, Ronald Reagan. Thank you, sir.
You are absolutely spot on, David, because I had also highlighted, in fact, I was going to play that clip of his closing remarks. They were inspiring. The general and I, General Boyk and I, were sitting as we did some live stuff on the Mall last night in front of the Capitol, and we were listening to the final remarks before we started that, and they were inspiring. And we both commented to one another that few people that have occupied that office would have the courage and the boldness to say what he said so forthrightly as he did last night. And to your point about the socialism, again, all I can say is that what we have today will not be what we have tomorrow if we stand aside and let those who want to recreate America in their own leftist image, if we let them have their way. We have to be engaged. We have to pray. We have to participate. We've got to be informed. This is our country, and we have to stand up and defend it. And in this setting, when I say that, we have to defend it by being informed, by informing our friends, by not cowering in silence out of fear of what somebody's going to say or do, you know, on social media. That's what they want. And we're seeing this. You're going to hear more about this in coming days, but we see the big media tech giants, you know, Google and Facebook and Twitter. There is a concentrated effort to choke off the conservative voice in these platforms. That's why this radio program is so important, and the stations that you're hearing it on, the app that I tell you about, the Stand Firm app, because there's coming a day, if there's not some kind of major shift, that they're trying to cut off the conservatives from these platforms so that they can communicate what the president is doing. Last night, he had 90 minutes to communicate directly to the American people the success story of the first 2 years. How much of that stuff did you hear in the media? Not much. They don't want you to know that this president has been successful. Never seen anything like it. All right, I need to work in a couple more calls here. Let's go to Zachary in North Carolina. Zachary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I feel like I'm kind of in the same vein with everybody else. It's kind of hard to top the pro-life speech that he gave in the assembly last night. But I think it's the reason behind it that is what makes it so poignant is we don't have a president that's perfect. He has flaws. He's messed up in the past, and we all have. And it's out in the open. But what we do have is a president who is not afraid to call out evil. And I think that's why he's hated so much. He made a good contrast. What better contrast is there between a mother holding a baby and then killing it before it comes out of the room, and then saying the same thing about socialism, that it's appalling And that's why I think they don't want to stand, because they have been called on the carpet. And if I was Trump, and as the rest of us should, we should never let them forget that, that this is the party they have become. And anybody that's in that needs to take a serious look in the mirror and ask, what am I supporting? Because this is the side that they're coming to. And so that's what I've got to say. It's kind of hard to top that. I'm glad we've got somebody that doesn't necessarily pick a fight, but like you said, won't back away from one when it's needed.
All right, Zachary, thanks so much for listening in and calling in. And to your point, let me once again draw your attention to the party platforms and the contrast that it sets for the two parties. You can go to TonyPerkins.com. We've got resources there. I've got a short video about the two-party platforms and a document there. Share that with your friends because, as I said yesterday, the Republican Party, 89% of the time, follows their party platform. The Democrats, three-quarters of the time. I'm glad it's not higher because their party platform is out there, and it's dangerous for America and certainly for the unborn. But go to TonyPerkins.com, follow that links over. All right, very quickly, we're going to go to John in Corinth, Mississippi. John, what was your highlight from last night?
My biggest highlight actually was when he said this country would never become socialist. But see, that was a clarion call to all the body of Christ to raise up until the Lord comes to make that come true. The other thing that I think I wanted to say was, if you look in Chuck Schumer's face, I seen this in his face about a year ago, he's beginning to lose his soul. He absolutely looks evil, and if we don't do anything, he's going to reproduce himself in the Democratic Party and other people that are okay with this abortion thing.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. A reminder to pray. Pray for Chuck Schumer. Pray for Nancy Pelosi. Look, they're not beyond the reach of God at all. Not at all. And they need our prayers. In fact, we're instructed in Scripture to pray for those in authority. Pray for those in government, the kings and the rulers, the judges. Pray for them. It is a heavy weight that they carry, even for those that, you know, we disagree with. Look, they're in those positions. And God says that he raises people up and he puts them in positions. Now, I'm thankful he raised up Donald Trump to be president. Yes, I am. But we need to pray for all of those in positions of authority, that we might live peaceably, and that we would have a government that would respect our fundamental freedoms and rights. All right, folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls. I want to thank you all for calling today. Thank you for being a part of Washington Watch. I do want to encourage you, sign the petition, go to TonyPerkins.com. That's going to Nancy Pelosi. Download the app, stand firm, because we need you to stand firm. Until next time, the Apostle Paul says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared and you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.